Oh, it's an exciting show.
A dark night in a city that knows how to keep its secrets. But one man is still trying to find the answers to life's persistent questions. Guy Noir, Private Eye.
It was Joan, and I was sitting in the brouhaha coffee house in the Acme building. Sound of that espresso machine made me think of a woman I had met. A woman I'd met at a health club. She was on a Stairmaster at the time. But I imagine that the heavy breathing was something else. Why do I bring that up here? I felt a tap on my shoulder, and I turned and there
was... Oh, Jeff.
No, I'm sorry, the name is Guy.
No, you're Jeff.
No, I don't think so.
Yes.
Who is Jeff?
I was your girlfriend back when you had a broken leg, and you lived in a little apartment, and you were spending a lot of time watching a neighbor through your rear window.
What?
And taking pictures of him. And you were pretty sure he had murdered his wife.
Hmm.
And you asked me to go over there and gather evidence. Do you remember that?
You know, if you had been my girlfriend, sweetheart, I would remember it forever. But no, I...
Oh, no,
I
no, no. It's me you're looking for, Lisa. And how the heck are you, anyway?
Oh, Jeff!
And look, how could you mistake this old duffer for me?
What?
I mean, this old retired guy.
What?
I thought he was a private eye, Jeff.
I tried to be, Lisa, but he's right. I'm retired now.
Oh.
Just one more geezer killing time and taking up space. That's all.
All right, guess again, Noir.
What?
You're not retired until you deal with me.
You? Yes. Sam Spade. Where'd you come from?
Came from where you were supposed to meet me, Noir, and when you didn't show up, I came here. What's going on? And no stories, okay? I hear enough stories on the radio.
He leaned towards me. It was him, kind of hawk-nosed, gap-toothed Sam Spade, with that double-breasted suit with that bulge on the left side where he kept his Roscoe, as we used to call it. I could smell the gin on his breath. Evidently, it'd been a long night for Sam. Yes, Sam, you heard right. You heard right. I'm retired. I got tired of the treachery of the human heart, and I decided I wanted to spend more time with the crossword puzzle.
Huh? All right, look, after you help me find the bird, then you can retire. So where is it?
The bird. Why not ask her? Huh?
Oh, it's me.
Huh? You, sister. Come on.
What?
Come on. Come on.
What?
Come on, come clean here. You were down by the waterfront.
No,
you were meeting that freighter, La Paloma.
No, no, no.
And then you stopped by Mr. Cairo's hotel, right?
No. That's right. You always have such a smooth explanation, Mr. Noir.
What do you want me to do? Learn how to stutter, huh?
Well,
what?
What bird are we talking about? Please fill me in.
You know darn well.
Yeah.
The Maltese falcon, that bird.
Right.
The one Archer was looking for when he took the big sleep.
Mm.
I hope that wasn't your doing. And if it was, I hope they don't hang you by that sweet neck, Angel.
Oh.
But if they do, I'll always remember you. You're a good man, sister.
I don't know how to take that exactly.
Then take it generally.
Oh, okay.
I beg your pardon. Are you by any chance the detective, Mr. Guy Noir?
Well, by some chance I am, yes. Who are
you?
Well,
Dr. John Watson here.
Dr. Watson?
Yes, a pleasure. And my colleague here, Mr. Holmes.
And there he was. Legend out of literature, Arthur Conan Doyle. He's wearing his famous three-piece tweed suit and that hat with the flaps. I can't think of the name for it. And with a briar pipe there and that hawk nose.
A pleasure to make your acquaintance, I'm sure. And may I simply point out that the shred of paper tissue on your lapel, sir...
Yes?
That tells me that you have spilled coffee on yourself, and that you are right-handed, and your mother's name was Agnes, and she loved Persian cats and once had one named Snookums who had two white paws and two black.
Oh, come on. How can you deduce all of that from a shred of tissue paper here on my lapel, huh?
Elementary. It is my business to know what other people do not know. And when you have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. That is how.
I see.
And also, the words are written right there on the script.
Oh, yes, so, I see that, yes.
And,
all right,
and
course.
From the slack expression on your face,
yes.
The dullness in your eyes, the lack of eagerness, the slovenliness of your dress, and from that I would deduce that you are a retired person.
Yes, very perspicacious of you.
Perhaps that is why you did not notice on your way in the footprints on the floor.
What?
Footprints! The footprints of a giant hound.
Oh, you're right. I didn't notice that, Mr. Holmes, and I don't really care. I'm just here for a cup of coffee, okay?
Pardon, Monsieur Holmes, but you are wrong about the giant hound. Hello, the name is Poirot. Hercule Poirot.
Hercule Poirot, the detective.
Oui, certainement.
Oh, I thought you were in Istanbul, monsieur, about to board a train. No?
No. I am right here about to order an Orient Espresso.
Oh.
But I was on a train, and it stopped in North Dakota in the middle of a snowy field.
What?
And there were no footprints anywhere, so I knew the man who stole the bird was still aboard the train. And yet, it had been taken from a locked compartment.
That was not North Dakota, Mr. Poirot.
Pardon?
That was the Dakota apartment building at 72nd Street and Central Park West in Manhattan.
Aha.
And the train was the downtown local.
Really? You mean to say?
Yes. The bird on the train was a fake.
Whoa.
The real Maltese Falcon was...
Why, don't tell him that, sweetheart.
Mr. Spade, come on.
No, you're wrong. This time I'm Philip Marlowe.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Extraordinary. All right. Simply extraordinary. The same gentleman, except entirely different.
Welcome to America, pal. It's a big country. Everybody can be two persons. Some of us are three or more.
And if I'm not mistaken, in the last car on that downtown local, there was a tall, oddly attractive man in a linen suit with scholarly glasses and poetic hair.
You talking about me, sister?
Anybody else here fit that description?
Well, as I said, I'm retiring, so it doesn't matter.
What about me? What about us?
We'll always have Paris, kid.
Wait a minute. That's my line.
What? Okay, well, then say it again, Sam.
Look, I'm not Sam. I'm Rick.
Oh, you're Rick. Right,
this is Rick's place.
Rick's place. Good.
Ah, gee, now I'm really confused. I'm not old enough to remember these movies.
Here's looking at you, kid.
Looking at me, but I'm on the radio. What do you mean?
Yeah, but will I see you again later?
Yeah, I never planned that far ahead, kid. She gasped. Either that or was the espresso machine. I don't really want to know. No, the Frenchman. Whoa, the Frenchman was pointing up the window, up at the sky. And it was a Maltese Falcon. It was flying over the line of buildings, over the church spires, getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
Smaller and smaller, just as we all eventually will, all of us.
Yes.
Even you, Holmes, Poirot, Jeff. Look, I'm no good at being noble, but it doesn't take much to see that the careers of private eyes don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world. Someday you'll understand that.
Well, I don't understand that, and I wrote this script myself. I don't, not really following it at this point very well.
Yeah. Right. It is just the same old story. A fight for love and glory.
Oh.
Case of bagels and lox.
And meet me in St. Louis, Louis. Meet me at the Fox.
Yes.
And then the lights came up in the auditorium. The lights came up and the movie was over, and the man on the screen was singing an old song. I'm tall, I'm a guy in an old linen suit. I smell of gin and cigar. I try to be thoughtful, though I'm not that astute. I'm Guy Noir. Where's your old love? I'll find her. And the friends you used to know. The half-written novel you left on the train in Paris 2 years ago. You have to be braver as time goes by and follow your lucky star. If you need help, from an older guy. Call on me, God was.